All right, we're going to bring the Senate Finance to order. Today is Wednesday, April 9th, 2014. The time is 3:10. Apologize for the delay. With us today is Co-Chairman Kelly and Senator Olson, Senator Hoffman, Senator Dunleavy, and Vice Chair Fairclough, and myself, Senator Meyer. So on today's agenda, we have two items. We're going to take up Senate Bill 119, which is the capital budget. Also, we'll take up Senate Bill 218, which is the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority. So is there anything to come before the committee members at this time before we get started with today's business? Okay, seeing and hearing none, Senator Kelly, let's take up Senate Bill 119. Please use your mic.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate Finance Committee report CS. Nope. Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate Finance Committee adopt the Senate Finance Committee CS for SB 119 version 28GS2672/Y, drafter Martin, dated 4/19/2014, as the working document.
Okay, is there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, then the committee substitute for Senate Bill 119 Finance version Y is adopted, and with that we'll take a brief at ease. Senate Finance is back, and we had just adopted the CS for Senate Bill 119. So at this time, Ms. Armstrong, could you explain the changes in the CS from the original version? Ms. Armstrong, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, Suzanne Armstrong, staff to Senator Meyer and the Senate Finance Committee. There are two reports that are before the committee members that pertain to the CS that has been adopted by the committee as the working document. The first one is titled at the top, Multi-Agency Summary. This is very similar to the report that was reviewed by the committee on Monday. The first column is the FY 2015 capital column, and it totals $2,094,229,000. Unrestricted general funds, $545,816,000. Designated general funds, $182,550,000. Other state funds, $266,517,000, and federal receipts, $1,099,344,000. The second column, Mr. Chairman, is the FY14 capital supplemental column, and it totals $7.31 million. It's roughly $2 million more than the bill that was considered on Monday because of a supplemental amendment that was presented by the governor's requested by the governor's Office of Management and Budget. The third column, Mr. Chairman, is the FY14 operating supplemental column, totaling after statewide items of debt service, special appropriations, and fund capitalizations, $45 million. Of which unrestricted general funds is $41 million, designated general funds $126,000, other state funds $3.9 million. Mr. Chairman, probably the largest difference in the bill actually occurs in the University of Alaska's FY15 capital budget. If I may direct members' attention to page 59. In the presentation of the committee substitute on Monday, Mr. Chairman, it was noted that there would be an additional project that would be added to the University of Alaska's FY15 capital budget, and that is the heat and power plant. So at lines 21 through 25, this contains the appropriation for it. The total appropriation is $195 million, Mr. Chairman, of which $37.5 million is designated general funds, which come from the Alaska Capital Income Fund, Mr. Chairman. And in the other fund columns, it notes $157.5 million, Mr. Chairman, which are bond proceeds that will be under consideration in a bill that will be before the committee after this. There's also intent language that was included in here, Mr. Chairman, that stipulates that it's the intent of the legislature that the University of Alaska implement a utility surcharge or increase tuition in an amount not to exceed annual revenue of $2 million. This funding and the fuel savings resulting from construction of the new plant shall be used to offset university revenue bond debt service for the University of Alaska Fairbanks heat and power plant.
Okay, very good, Ms. Armstrong. And we may have some questions on this. I think it's hard to remember what we have and haven't discussed, but if you recall, the line right before that is the engineering building for UIF, in which there was $5 million JF, I believe it was JF, put in for the by the governor's office, and then $5 million for receipt authority. So that's why that's shown as $10 million, and it was actually my original goal to try to fund that engineering building in its entirety, so that we could be done with that, as well as the one on the UAA campus, as well as the SLAM building here. But after a lot of discussion with my co-chairman and with the representatives from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, they felt like the power plant was a much bigger priority at this point in time. So that's why you see just the $10 million for the engineering building and the $195 million for the power plant. Senator Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, you spoke to the SLAM building, or is that being funded in its entirety?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, I would just also point out the
maintenance money was shifted from UAF, as well as, was there another one? Was the engineering building was shifted?
And your a lot of your capital.
A lot of my capital stuff, but that's life. But there wasn't, it isn't all just GF that we hadn't spent. It was deferred maintenance that was going to the UAF campus. It was UAF engineering building money that was going to the UAF campus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
I think for the audience, 195, unfortunately, isn't the total amount. There is going to be some cash put towards this, and as Senator Kelly said, the 37.5, a lot of that is the money that was going to go to the finished engineering building, also the deferred maintenance at UAF, as
yeah,
well
I
as...
Yeah, deferred maintenance was somewhere around $18 million. It was yeah. $22 million on that campus, and we shifted 18 or something like that to the 18.
So Fairbanks has made a pretty big sacrifice to get this past my wishes, but it's obviously a priority of the university, priority for the I think it's number one priority for the city of Fairbanks, if I recall.
I think so.
And obviously it serves a statewide need as well. So I'm glad that we were able to make this work out. So any other comments on the power plant?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Did you want me to discuss the reappropriation also as part of the funding for
sure.
the power plant?
Yeah. Yes, please go ahead.
Under Section 41, which is on page 109, lines 13 through 18, there is a $50 million reappropriation to the University of Alaska for design construction of the Fairbanks campus combined heat and power plant as well. So the total funding that is proposed in this bill is $245 million.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, go ahead.
I think I got the wrong page or something. No. What page did you say it was, Suzanne?
109.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'll see a transfer of $50,000 from the SETS fund.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
$50 million.
I'm sorry. A zero here, a zero there. Yeah, $50
million. My capital money back.
So let's see. So the cash involved with this is the $50 million from the SETS fund, the deferred maintenance, the money for the engineering building, and then we also got a few million from Senator Kelly's capital. So is that how much total then is the cash?
It's 87, isn't it?
Suzanne?
87.5 million, Mr. Chairman, and then 157.5 and bond proceeds.
And anticipated bond proceeds.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Just so everybody's clear on how the funding works on the power plant. Don't want any surprises or anybody think we're not being open, transparent. Okay. So anything else? Suzanne, you other changes? Did you want to go through? Okay. Senator Fairclough, yes.
Mr. Chairman, could we put on the record what we've done for community revenue sharing? I know that when we took public testimony, this committee heard from multiple communities across the state about how important, especially for smaller communities, revenue sharing would be to individual communities. I just went through this very fast. I want to make sure it hasn't changed and put it on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Fairclough, nothing in Senate Bill 119 pertains to community revenue sharing that is funded through the operating budget. However, it may be perceived that 110 pages of this does pertain to community revenue sharing because of the investments that are being made in local roads, local facilities, energy projects, educational facilities, grants to schools, and important projects that impact the communities throughout the state, in which all senators have been involved in working hard to relay to the chairman the importance of those projects in their communities.
Senator Kelly?
Yeah, just on the operating budget, Senator Hoffman, we all agreed with him, got a unanimous vote to put $3 million back in that had been removed in the House, and I think more specifically just for planning for purposes for the community, is that regardless of what's happened in the operating budget, there won't be any FY15 impact. It doesn't, there wouldn't be any impact based on what we did until FY16.
Senator Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, I'm looking at the front row, the front bench there, and the mayor from Fairbanks, so I know that it's very important. Thank you.
He's here for the power plant. What do you mean?
He used to work for the power plant.
Okay. The power plant obviously was the big change in the capital budget, and we'll have more discussion on that with the next bill, the bonding bill itself. But there were some minor adjustments you'll see as you go through the bill, and certainly we don't need to go through each one. I don't know if there's any big changes other than the power plant. Ms. Armstrong, you want to mention? I'll throw out the LUSAC library. We did bump up some. It's now at $10 million, which was their original request. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I think probably the one project that I would point out that was increased was the grant to the Alaska Railroad for positive train control. There was a proposed reduction to $10 million, and it was the $5 million was restored to get to the governor's requested funding level of $15 million.
Okay.
Just for clarification, I'm not sure, what was the total that was given for positive train control?
$15 million.
$15.
Through the chair.
Okay. Is there any other questions on the committee substitute? Okay. Is there any amendments to the committee substitute that's currently before us?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Hoffman?
I would move amendment number one.
Okay. Object, just so you can discuss it. Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number one is about access for safety in the community of King Cove. They've been working on a road to Cove Bay, which has an all-weather airport. And Senator Ted Stevens and Senator Lisa Murkowski have been working on this project, trying to get authorization at the federal level. I might point out that this appropriation is dependent upon federal receipts and federal approval of that road. But primarily, the project will construct the third and final phase of the road connecting King Cove to the city of Cold Bay and all-weather airport. The project will construct 17.2-mile single-lane gravel road with turnouts. The project contributes to the department's mission by reducing injuries, fatalities, and property damage, and by improving the mobility of the people of people and goods. The Lucian East Borough owns and maintains the road up to the national park boundary. The state will own the road within the national park boundaries, but the Lucian East Borough has agreed to maintain the road within the park. And this has been receiving a lot of attention. Senator Murkowski is continuing to work with the Secretary of Interior, Sally Jewell, and hopefully we will have a decision on that appeal in short order. But primarily, this brings the funding into the budget. I think it makes a bold statement that the state of Alaska is in full support of the safety issues that the people of King Cove face each and every day, and I would ask the committee's support for this amendment.
Okay, very good. Senator Hoffman, I'll speak for myself as chairman of the committee. I'm going to renew my objection. I think the amendment is very appropriate, very timely, and very much needed out in that area. So explain, though, how this would work. If we get the federal receipts, the $18.9 million from the federal government, then we would match it with the 2.1. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the road could not be constructed until the federal funds were appropriated, and the decision was reversed by the Secretary of Interior.
Unless you go out with your D9 and just do it yourself, right? Okay. Senator Perkoff.
Mr. Chairman, do we have money heading towards this road in any other form?
Not that I'm aware of.
Mr. Chairman, I'd point to page 39, line 14. We have a $100,000 appropriation there, and so I'm wondering if we've got any allocations out there already for development. I'm in support of the road also. I just wonder whether we have any money already allocated that we might not know about.
Okay, you know, I think we have somebody here from DOT, but I'm sure we're catching him totally off guard on this. I don't know if you're prepared to comment. Okay, please join us.
Mr. Chairman, it's a very small amount. It's a huge amount for me personally, but it's a small amount in this budget of $100,000.
Yeah, and it does say for permitting, doesn't it?
It says right away in permitting. If we've got $100,000 here, I'm wondering if we've had other appropriations in the past.
Maybe we can get by with just the $2 million then. Mr. Otteson, if you could put your name on the record and affiliation, please.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Otteson, Director of Program Development within the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Okay. So I believe the question was about the $100,000 in the existing budget shown for permitting using general funds. And that is essentially money needed to keep this project moving through the legal and permitting processes we must go through before we move to construction. So it really is a separate source of funds doing a separate task that is not eligible for our federal dollars right now.
Senator Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we have an existing project, and I'm wondering how much has been obligated or appropriated to the project already. And is this then the final amount that's needed to construct, or do we have any funds that are unobligated from appropriations of the past?
Through the chair, Senator Fairclough, I would have to get back to you with any amounts that are unobligated, but there has been a substantial amount of road work built, also a landing pad for the hovercraft. The hovercraft was purchased, so there's a lot of work. This money, new money, is for the portion of the road that crosses the wildlife refuge. So it is a new piece of road that is needed. And right now, of course, the key link is to get the right-of-way approved, which is a Department of Interior decision that we have to overturn.
Senator Fergus.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairman. And just again, so for this segment of the road, the amendment that we have in front of us will meet construction projections right now, and there was no other appropriation for these constructions that are sitting somewhere.
Through the chair, Representative Fairclough, we generally, when we prepare these budget requests, and I see in the history here some email, we would have looked into our bank account for any old appropriations and not requested duplicate appropriations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Fairclough. So Mr. Otteson, is it safe to say that you're supportive of this amendment, or? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Through the chair, I'm very supportive of this amendment. This is a project that I think I've been working on for my entire career at DOT.
Okay. And Senator Hoffman, I believe you would agree that this is very important to your constituency in King Cove?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chairman, and I would appreciate the support of the committee.
Okay, very good. Any more discussion on Amendment Number 1? Okay, I remove my objection. If there's no other objection, then Amendment 1 is accepted. Thank you, Mr. Otteson. Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Okay, is there any other amendments to come before the committee on Senate Bill 119?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Dillon.
Brief at ease.
All right, we're back. Just for the record, all committee members would like to be shown on as co-sponsors with Senator Hoffman on his amendment number one. Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Okay, so please take this bill and this capital budget bill, read it, see if we made any errors. There wasn't many changes from the original version, so hopefully there isn't any errors that we didn't catch from the first version, but if there is, certainly let me know, and I'll be happy to make the corrections on the floor, depending on what the errors are and if they're truly errors. So, Ms. Armstrong? Yes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we get too far, you would ask Legislative Finance Division to prepare a report that compared the enacted capital budget last year to this document that's before the committee today, and that report is also sitting on members' desk. Prior to coming into the legislative session, even starting with last legislative session, the Senate Finance Committee established criteria and determined to reduce unrestricted general fund spending in the budgets, and that included the capital as well as the operating budget. So, Mr. Chairman, the report that's before the committee shows a reduction of $439,301,000 in unrestricted general funds as compared to last year's capital budget. It also shows an additional $44.5 million reduction in designated general fund. And Mr. Chairman, as you have discussed, reducing the unrestricted general fund also acts in an effort to preserve the reserve accounts that are available to the legislature, and that will be necessary over the course of the next 10 years.
So thank you for pointing that out, Mr. Armstrong. I guess if somebody says, wow, that went up from the last version, and the reason for that is we have to show the bonding proceeds. Is that correct?
That's correct. In the total reduction compared 2013 to 2014, it only shows it as an $184 million reduction, whereas Monday we were looking at in the neighborhood of $405 million in total funds. And a large part of that difference is due to the bond proceeds that we are showing for the heat and power plant at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. But it is still notable that the reduction is $439 million in unrestricted general funds.
Very good. Yeah. So there's about $200 million in proceeds for bonds. Is that ballpark?
$157.5 million, sir.
Perfect. Okay. See, I round up. So. Okay. Excellent. Good. Good job. Okay. Is there anything else? Trying to think. I know it's been a long night for us, so we're not thinking too good here, or I'm not anyway. Suzanne's doing an excellent job. She was up even later than myself and up early. And I know Marta, Donnie were all up as well making copies. And, of course, we already thanked our ledge finance guys behind us for making this all happen.
Mr. Chairman, can we have a brief at ease?
Sure. Okay, we're back. Again, I encourage everybody to read this very closely. We tried our best, but there are going to be some mistakes, and I think Senator Faircloth might have found a correction that needs to be made. Senator Faircloth?
Mr. Chairman, if I could direct the members' attention to page 21. This is regarding intent language for the Blood Bank of Alaska and an appropriation from the general fund of $7 million. It's a great project, but the legislature is having to ask for local assistance on many projects now. And so if I could ask, I'd like to move, Mr. Chairman, a technical amendment on line 27.
It is be amendment number 2. Go ahead.
I move amendment number 2, page 21, line 27, after the word and, insert or. That's the amendment, Mr. Chairman. And the issue is that we're not telling the food, we're not telling the blood bank what to do, but we're saying that this is basically all the state is able to contribute towards the project. I believe that we've contributed close to 75% in the neighborhood of that project, and we're asking them to go somewhere else or redesign the project if they need the state for more assistance.
Okay, very good. So that's it's a technical amendment, amendment number 2, and it's the word and/or secure alternative funding for the remainder of the project. Any objections to that technical amendment? Okay. Seeing, hearing none, then that amendment number 2 passes. Anything else? Okay. Senator Kelly, I think we're ready for a motion. Wait, let me check with Suzanne. Okay. Go ahead, Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate Finance Committee report CS for SB 119 Finance from committee with individual recommendations. I also move to give instructions to the Legislative Legal Services and Legislative Finance Division to make any necessary or conforming changes to the bill.
Okay. Senator Kelly, so your motion is to move the bill as amended?
As amended.
Okay. Just want to make that clear. Mm-hmm. Okay, so is there any objections to moving the CS for Senate Bill 119, version Y, as amended, from committee? Okay, seeing here none, bill moves out of committee.
I hate that when we amend and then we don't have it.
Yeah, I know. Okay, we're going to bring Senate Finance back to order. Next bill up is Senate Bill 218, Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority. This bill was previously heard on April 7th, that would be 2 days ago, and there was an introduction to committee questions and discussion, public testimony. So at this time, we are ready to adopt a committee substitute. Senator Kelly?
I don't know that I have. What is the number?
Senate Bill 218.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt as our working draft SB 218.
Finance.
Finance / U.
No.
It's not?
Brief at ease. Senate Finance is back. We're going to restate the motion. We had the wrong version. Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for Senate Bill number 218, Finance, version 28-LS1567, /N, Drafter Wallace, dated 4/9/14, as our working draft.
Okay, and I'll object for purposes of discussion. Ms. Armstrong, if you could explain the changes, please.
Thank you. For the record, Suzanne Armstrong, staff to Senator Meyer and the Senate Finance Committee. There were two sections that were added to the CS for Senate Bill 218. On page 5, lines 10 through 24, which is section 8, is legislative approval for bond authorization for the University of Alaska Fairbanks Heat and Power Plant. Mr. Chairman, this section authorizes the University of Alaska to issue revenue bonds and use the proceeds of the revenue bonds to pay for the design, construction, acquisition, and equipping for the heat and power plant facility in Fairbanks. This section, the legislative approval and authorization is required by statute. And that's why it appears in this bill here. The second section that is added is Section 9, which is located at page 5, lines 25 through 31. Continue on page 6, lines 1 through 7. And this is the loan authorization for the University of Alaska that may borrow an amount not to exceed $150 million by issuing revenue bonds or entering into a loan agreement with the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority, which the authority of the Municipal Bond Bank in this legislation is expanded to include that option for the University of Alaska. So, Mr. Chairman, this provides the legislative approval and the statutory legislative approval and authorization for the bonds that were discussed under Senate Bill 119 previously.
Okay. So, again, just so the record's clear, the anticipation is that the university is anticipated to bond up to $70 million, and then by using this municipal loan bond that they can, it's anticipated they could bond for an additional 87.5.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, and yeah.
And the 70 was a revenue bond.
Excuse me, Seneca?
70 is a revenue bond.
Go ahead. Yeah, use your microphone. I don't.
The 70 is a revenue bond?
Revenue bond? I don't know if it's
70 million. That's correct, sir.
Yeah. Okay. It's a revenue bond. Very good. Senator Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, I'm looking at the fiscal note, and I see an addition of $7 million annually from the general funds, and I'm wondering if that should be university receipts then?
That is not including the revenue bond, I don't believe. That's from the bond bank.
Chairman, it's $7 million of new general fund money.
Mr. Chairman, we can bring Michelle Rizik from the University of Alaska to the table to discuss the fiscal note. with the committee members.
Yeah, I think that would be good if Michelle could join us. And then also, Mr. Armstrong, was there going to be an amendment as well to this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, in a discussion prior to this meeting with Devin Mitchell, debt manager for the state of Alaska, there was clarifying language that he would like included in this as well.
Okay. We'll make that amendment then shortly. Okay. All set, Michelle? Okay, very good. So if you could please put your name on the record.
For the record, Michelle Rizik, University of Alaska budget. Through the chair, Senator Fairclough, this amount represents the debt service associated with the $87.5 million that the University of Alaska intends to borrow from the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank. In addition to this amount, the University of Alaska is going to be issuing $70 million of UA revenue bonds that we will be responsible for the debt service on through anticipated, with the majority of that savings coming through utility, or the funding for that payment coming from utility savings.
And that's not until 2018, 19?
Correct.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Senator Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, it's $7 million of new GF funds, $37 million inside the capital budget that we already approved, and debts. We're going to make our own debt service payments on what we're loaning. That seems to be what we're doing.
Go ahead.
Through the chair, Senator Fairclough, as you're aware, in the operating budget this year, the University of Alaska did take a significant reduction in the neighborhood of $16 million. And so in the current fiscal climate and looking to the future, we don't have this capacity to come up with an additional $7 million in addition to what we're going to be contributing for the UA revenue bonds that we're issuing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, additional questions? Actually, I'm going to take a brief at ease. Okay, we're back. We were discussing the fiscal note. Is there any other questions concerning the fiscal note or the bill or the process?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Cuff.
Just to put on the record briefly what we were discussing, Mr. Chairman, I just was asking about the overall bond debt for the state of Alaska and, you know, which region is actually qualifying for that debt and worrying about that ratio, knowing that the Port of Anchorage would be coming to us at some point and looking at what that number might look like, as well as other bonds that might be important to other regions of our state. And I just wanted to put it clear on the record what we were talking about. Thank you.
Yep. I appreciate that, Senator Fairclough. And again, Suzanne, if you could just summarize the whole financing of the power plant. And I know we'll be referring back to the capital budget here because there was $50 million sets fund, approximately $30 million from the UAF engineering building, I don't know, 10 or 15 from deferred maintenance. That got us to a certain dollar amount of cash. And then the rest is going to be done bonding. As mentioned here in the bill, the $70 million revenue bonds and then 87.5 from the Municipal Loan Bank Authority. Go ahead.
Thank you. For the record, Suzanne Armstrong. Mr. Chairman, you're correct. In Senate Bill 119, previously before the committee, there was one $50 million reappropriation. There was one appropriation in FY15 for $37.5 million. In Senate Bill 218, which is before the committee now, there is two authorizations. One authorization for the University of Alaska issuing revenue bonds in the amount of $70 million, and the second is authorization for the University of Alaska Fairbanks utilizing the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority in an amount of $87.5 million, for a total of $245 million, sir.
Yep, that's the magic number, 245. And then also, too, that's why it made the summary sheets higher than what we saw last time, was we do have to account for the bonding proceeds. Okay, additional questions on what we're doing, how we're doing it? Why we're doing it? Okay, Ms. Armstrong, did you have an amendment you wanted to make?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is a conceptual amendment. So I think probably, Mr. Chairman, I'll state what it is if there can be a motion following.
Thank you. I need to remove my objection before you make the amendment. So I remove my objection to the moving of the CS. Is there any other objections? Seeing here none, then we have the CS as proposed before us, version N. Ms. Armstrong.
Thank you. Page 5, Mr. Chairman, line 29. After the word by, inserting the following language, issuing revenue bonds and.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Go ahead. Do you want to do it or you want Mr. Mitchell?
Thank you.
I'm sorry. You can't move that, can you? Yeah, thank you. Okay, thank you, Senator Kelly. And then I'll object to Senator Kelly's conceptual amendment. Can you explain, or do you want Mr. Mitchell to?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As this was requested language, clarifying language by Mr. Mitchell, I'd like to have Mr. Mitchell come to the table, if that's
great.
Appropriate.
Mr. Mitchell, our bond expert. Appreciate you being here. Mr. Mitchell, if you could, put your name on the record, please.
Yes, Devin Mitchell, debt manager. Actually, I'm here in the capacity of the executive director of the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority.
Okay, great. So you heard the conceptual amendment?
Yes.
Yeah. And
the conceptual amendment is required as the bond bank program works by purchasing the securities of local jurisdictions on a private placement basis. They're not rated. They're not offered to the other parties. We buy all of them. At the same time that we do that, we sell our securities in the capital markets and whatever rates we get on our securities, we pass through to those underlying securities. In this case, those are all bonds. The amendment to the bond bank statute that's on page 4, line 28, provides a definition that allows the university to provide our university to participate in the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank program that uses the word revenue bond. And so by amending or by considering the amendment to page 5, line 29, it allows those two terminologies to match so that we ensure that, in fact, we'll be able to do what this committee intends, and that is to make a loan to the university by purchasing the revenue bonds that they issue.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Mitchell? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Mitchell. I'll remove my objection to the amendment. Is there any other objections to the conceptual amendment number one? Seeing, hearing none, conceptual amendment number one is adopted. Any other discussion on Senate Bill 218 at this time? Okay. Seeing, hearing none, no questions, no more discussion. Senator Kelly, as amended. Version in.
Mr. Chairman, I would move CS for Senate Bill number 218, Finance, as amended from committee with the individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Okay. Any objections to moving committee substitute 218, Finance, version in, as amended from committee? Seeing and hearing none, bill moves out of committee. At this time, I want to thank Suzanne Armstrong for your great work.
Good job, Suzanne.
On not only the capital budget, but also this bond bill. I guess actually it was the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority bill that we amended to make this work for the University of Alaska Fairbanks Power Plant. Spent a lot of time and a lot of effort, a lot of hours into this. Thank you very much. We couldn't have made this without you. And thank you all committee members for your patience and understanding in trying to make the last minute changes and corrections. So if there's nothing else, let's see, we do have a meeting. Well, we have the floor at 6, so we'll have to make sure we get the corrections made by 6 o'clock. So it can be right across on the floor. Tomorrow we'll have public testimony on the education bill, House Bill 278. So we'll start that at 9 o'clock. And if public testimony runs over into the afternoon, then we'll just keep going. If not, then we'll take up some bills that we have. Senate Bill 197, Senate Bill 216. Senate Bill 197 is naturally occurring asbestos. I think that's Senator Olson's. Senate Bill 216, sexual abuse assault prevention programs. I think that's been commonly referred to as the Aaron Bill, Aaron Law, Senator McGuire's, and then there's a couple House bills. Okay, so yeah, tomorrow will be Education Day, public
conference
testimony.
Conference committee too at 4 o'clock tomorrow as well.
Conference committee tomorrow at 4 o'clock? Okay. Yep, so if you're interested in conference committee, that's at 4 o'clock. This room or House? Okay.
Yeah. When is that?
Tomorrow at 4. Okay, so I think that concludes our business for today. Thank you very much. We're adjourned until 9 o'clock tomorrow.